Ligonier Ministries reminds us, know what you believe, why you believe it, how to live it, and how to share it. We always want to invite people at Daleville Christian Church to know what it is they believe. We include in our worship services an affirmation of faith taken directly from God's Word. This one from John chapter 1, the first five verses and the 14th verse, referring to Jesus and his appearance, particularly as he was born to Mary. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The reading from God's Word, there are two today, in keeping with our theme for this season before Christmas, the season of Advent, although this is December 24th. We begin in Luke's Gospel, the first chapter, verses 8 through 23, and then we will look at Matthew's Gospel. And we are speaking here of the prophecy, I guess you would say, of John the Baptizer's birth, given to his father Zechariah, who was a priest in the temple in Jerusalem. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, angel meaning simply messenger, a messenger of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. So we think perhaps he was not only without speech, he was also without hearing. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. The reading from Matthew's Gospel looks to Joseph, Mary's husband, Mary, mother of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. May the Lord add his blessing to these readings of his holy word. Our theme for Advent and Christmas this year is fairly straightforward. The theme is, don't miss Christmas again this year. We've been looking at the Bible, the reports of Jesus' birth, and there were people back then when Jesus was born who knew that Jesus had been born but did not celebrate Jesus' birth. King Herod, as we already know, King Herod opposed Jesus' birth. Herod wanted to end the newborn baby's life. God promised us a Savior. Herod had been promised a Savior also. Herod was not interested. If anyone is not interested in the best Christmas gift ever, if people do not receive the gift that God gave in His Son, our Savior Jesus, refuse the gift and you miss Christmas. Don't miss Christmas. Celebrate the gift that is yours, the gift that is for you. Today we look at two people who almost missed Christmas. We will talk about them. We'll talk about why they almost missed Christmas. That will help us because there is a possibility today that some folks are very close to the birth of the Savior Jesus, but still miss receiving their gift. And maybe if we understand how a couple of guys who were there, how they almost missed it, we'll know how to help others and ourselves fully embrace the gift of Christmas, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our Lord. We begin with Zechariah, the father of John the Baptizer. Our author Luke makes clear what we already know, that before Messiah appears, Elijah must appear. You can check that out in the prophet Malachi, chapter 4. That's the last chapter, verses 5 and 6. The prophet Elijah will come to Israel prior to the day of the Lord. And so Luke wrote it all out for us. Luke makes it a part of his Christmas reports, John's birth and then Jesus' birth. So Luke states, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron." So Zechariah is a priest, so we can figure that Zechariah has read the Bible, unlike some of the high priests who were appointed by the Herods. They were not of the priestly descendants of Aaron, and those high priests were not of any priestly division. But Zechariah is. Zechariah has credentials. Zechariah has the necessary credentials. So Zechariah should know a thing or two about the promised Messiah and Elijah who comes ahead of the Messiah. And Luke tells us of other qualifications of Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. Verse 6, both of them, Zechariah and Elizabeth, were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Now, a lot of people balk at that statement that Jews could observe all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly, but the Apostle Paul said the same thing about himself, Philippians 3:6 and 1 Thessalonians 2:10. It does not mean that these people were perfect, not at all. There might have even been some Pharisees who disagreed with that statement from Luke's gospel, but God's word says that as to the written laws of Moses, not later interpretations or oral tradition, these people followed them. They were good, pious Jews, and that is good, isn't it, since Zechariah is also a priest? So on we read in that first chapter. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to take Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." Well, let's stop right there. Zechariah's prayer is heard. Both prayers, actually. For Zechariah's prayer, personal prayer, is to have a child. And Zechariah's prayers for the people of Israel is that the people be saved from their sins. Zechariah's prayers, it is declared, have been heard and answered. There will be a child to Zechariah and Elizabeth, John, and he will usher in the time of the Messiah who will save his people from their sins. But Zechariah is uncertain. You might wonder why. Why or how can Zechariah be uncertain? Be uncertain of this promise made by a messenger of God, an angel. A messenger of God who comes to Zechariah in the temple of the living God while Zechariah is serving well and fulfilling his duty. Zechariah, who has read the Bible and knows the traditions, why does Zechariah say, "How can I be sure of this?" Well, Zechariah says why Zechariah is not sure. And Zechariah says, "I'm an old man, and so is my wife." Well, that's not the exact translation, but you know what it means. Zechariah states the problem. "I'm an old man. My wife is well along in years." It's as if Zechariah were saying, "I don't know about you, but I'm old, O-L-D. And I don't know about you, but here is where I have all the sympathy in the world for Zechariah. Why? Because Zechariah is focused on the knowable, physical world and the reality of his own situation. Zechariah knows something about human physiology, although Zechariah did not know what physiology was. Zechariah saying, "How in the world would this be possible? Let me tell you, angel, about the reality of life on earth. I am old." And you can almost hear the exasperation in the angel's words, if angels get exasperated. Gabriel trots out Gabriel's credentials. The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news." It's almost as if the angel is saying, "Look, buddy, I don't know who you think I am, but I just came from the big boss's office, and if he says this is going to happen, it is going to happen. This isn't rumor. This isn't scuttlebutt. I just came here now with God's own instructions to tell you this. And so therefore Gabriel adds, and now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Then we read about him coming out of the temple, and when his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. I would just notice for you that Elizabeth and Zechariah have disgrace. Why is that? Because if you want children in the ancient world as Jewish people, and you don't have any children, many people figure that you must have offended the Almighty God. And so that is why Matthew has to state in verse 6 and 7, immediately together, both of them, Zechariah and Elizabeth, were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly, but they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Childless, righteous couples are not words that went together in Jewish people's heads years ago. Still in our day, people badmouth Zechariah for not believing the angel. But here is Zechariah's problem, and a problem I have sympathy for. Zechariah believes more in his own weakness than Zechariah believes in God's power. Zechariah believes more in his own weakness than Zechariah believes in God's power. Let me put it another way. Zechariah believes in his own ability to mess up than he does in God's ability to overcome obstacles. Zechariah believes in his own ability to mess things up, and believes in that more than he does in God's ability to overcome obstacles. I am sympathetic to Zechariah because I know that I have been guilty of the very same thing. I have believed in the earthly limitations of the situation I am in. I have believed in my own failings, and I have believed in them more. I have believed more in my ability to mess up than I have believed in God's ability to make something happen. Shame on me. Shame on Zechariah. Zechariah almost missed Christmas. Zechariah didn't have enough faith to remember that if God says it's going to happen, it is going to happen. God's word makes it happen. Remember the Bible verse, chapter 1 of the Bible, book of Genesis, verse 3, first book of the Bible, third verse, God said, let there be light, and you know, there was light. And there was light. Why? Because God said so. Now we see Gabriel's astonishment. If angels can be astonished, Zechariah says, how can I know? And Gabriel says, what? Do you know who you're talking to? God said it. That's enough. Believe it. It's going to happen. And you know what, friends? It did happen, just as Gabriel said it would. But Zechariah almost missed Christmas, because he focused too much on his own limitations. Now you know the story of Joseph and Mary much better than you may know the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, but we go to Matthew's gospel to look at them. I have the feeling that we foreigners, that is, we are not Jews, and we are reading about Jews. Matthew was Jewish, and Matthew's gospel book appears to have a Jewish audience in mind. and certainly more so than Luke and Mark's Gospels, Jesus' Jewishness is emphasized. So even if we are not Jews and we have almost no concerns for Jewish matters and not much interest in the Jewish matters of Jesus' own day, our lack of interest in Jewish matters might make it difficult for the Lord to bless us in the reading about Joseph. We certainly understand the crisis that Joseph is in. All of us have some sympathy with Joseph's struggles. Joseph is betrothed to Mary, and that is a legal union. They just have not lived together. And if I have to make that plain for the younger generation, Mary and Joseph have not had sex yet, and yet they are legally a couple. And yet Mary is pregnant. Today we would call Mary's pregnancy a crisis pregnancy. And crisis means decisions have to be made. If the baby is not Joseph's, and you and I, the readers, and Mary and Joseph know that the baby is not Joseph's, you and I, as readers of Matthew's book, along with Mary, celebrate that the baby is not Joseph's, because it's God's. Joseph does not celebrate that the baby is not his. Joseph cannot celebrate this pregnancy at all. I'll tell you why that is in a moment. Now, if the baby was Joseph's, then Joseph and Mary would probably hurry to the wedding day and everyone would guess what had taken place. There would be some shame, but Joseph and Mary could make sin sacrifices and be cleared. Now, if the baby is not Joseph's, then Mary has probably violated the laws of Moses, defiled the marriage, and embarrassed Joseph, in addition to grieving him and hurting him. No doubt about it, Joseph had wanted to marry Mary, but now his trust in Mary has been severed, and Mary severed it. What would Joseph do? There were no simple answers. And really, there are three questions to consider, or at least three issues Joseph has to consider. What does Joseph want to do is one consideration. Two, what does the law of Moses say is Joseph's legal right to do? And I'm suggesting there's a third. What does God want Joseph to do? And I'm offering that as a third option, a third question as a separate option for Joseph, because what most Jews would believe is that the law of Moses is what God wants Joseph to do. So that would have been covered number two. I'm suggesting maybe number three might be different from number two. Joseph has the reputation of being a good Jew. So there is pressure to do what the law of Moses says. What is Joseph's legal right to do? Would not most pastors and rabbis advise Joseph to do that very thing? Do what the law of Moses says to do. That could include a public trial to uncover the nature of Mary's crime and therefore determine the correct punishment, which could mean death. Was Mary seduced? Was Mary overpowered, which is a polite way of saying that she might have been raped? Was Mary a willing accomplice to this shamefulness? Joseph could loudly and in public places openly accuse Mary of her sin. The law of Moses, the Old Testament, the Bible says Joseph can do that and take her to open court. Joseph apparently had all but decided to go through with the divorce. You had to get a divorce, even if you were only betrothed and not living together. Betrothal, as I said, was a legal status, and to change the legal status, you had to divorce. That would keep Joseph's slate clean, but it would make Mary into damaged goods. Hey, I didn't create these community standards of the first century, okay? I'm just telling you what went down 2,000 years ago. But if Joseph could get that divorce done quietly, it wouldn't be a public spectacle, and it wouldn't have to be. It would be more like an annulment is today in our century. Joseph would not cry for justice to be done and to cry out for his honor to be avenged. Mary wouldn't have to be publicly punished or executed. Then Joseph took a nap. Maybe Joseph was going to sleep on this tough decision that Joseph had to make, and we can all be glad that Joseph did, because now God gets directly involved with Joseph. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So another messenger from God comes to Joseph and in a dream and says, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Matthew goes on to say, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And then he tells us when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. God's messenger, an angel, clears things up for Joseph, saying, basically, continue as you were, take the high road, get laughed at and snickered at by the townspeople, make your families hide their faces in shame for you, and go ahead with the wedding. But the baby is God's. Now, we've taken a lot of time on this, but there is the thing. Please notice that what Joseph did was not the right thing. You get that? Joseph did not do what the Bible said to do. The baby is not Joseph's. Joseph has legal rights here. They're outlined in the Bible. Joseph did not follow the Bible. Joseph followed God. And you're saying, Pastor, did you just give up preaching a Christmas sermon? No. Remember, Jesus disagreed with some of the Pharisees. Some of the Pharisees. And I just said it five times because the gospel writers say it five times. Not all of the Pharisees. And Jesus will tell some of them, your emphasis on rules and rule-keeping is leaving out important stuff like love and forgiveness and mercy. And you think you're all loving God, but you're also supposed to love the neighbor. Jesus will tell some of them, all your rules are burdens too heavy for others to carry, and you guys won't even help those people carry the burdens you say they have to carry. Luke 11:46. Joseph, even before God's son was born, set aside the rule book to be loving and merciful. And in being loving and merciful, he fulfilled the will of God. In being loving and merciful, he fulfilled the plan of salvation and his part in it. Jesus would be born a son of David, a son of Abraham. Jesus was Messiah. Joseph did not miss Christmas. Joseph accepted the gift of Jesus as Joseph's own. But Joseph almost missed Christmas if he hadn't taken that nap. And so, friends, celebrate Christmas. Know that our God is a merciful God. Rules do not decide God's mercy. Rules do not decide God's mercy. Our God decides God's mercy. Jesus came to prove that God wants to be merciful to you. Turn to Jesus. Receive him that you may have a new life. Now and forever. Celebrate Christmas. Amen.